AAT Bird's weekly report is the Eagle News, notes, and analysis you need.
Fires for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted!
The 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown! Matt Ware! Matt Ware!
He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward.
He fumbled.
And he fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it!
It's good! And the Eagles win!
It's all birds, all the time.
How about them Eagles?
And welcome to another edition of the AAT Birds Weekly Report. I'm myself, Johnny Oleka, as always, joined by Chip at Chip for the Birds. And we're going to talk about the Eagles. A lot of stuff going on in terms of basically everything. It's been a little bit of chaos, if you want to talk about on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it.
You can comment on that now.
Yeah, right? No, it's just, I don't know. It wasn't as big of a win that we wanted or we thought we would have seen. There's a lot to get into there. Yeah, familiar faces returning this Sunday. It is a 1 o'clock game.
Oh, thank God.
It is the first 1 o'clock game since I believe it was the Washington Commanders games earlier in the season. So
I can't.
It's a lot. You think it's tough on the fans? How do you think the players feel?
You know, maybe that's why they're playing like crap.
But listen, it's just Eagles are 11-4. Right now they hold the 2 seed. And there's still 2 weeks left. They have the Cardinals and then the Giants again. But getting to this game, listen, they came out with the win. It was a lot closer than it should have been, than I thought it was going to be, especially the way the game was unfolding going into half, up 20-3. And then everything seemed to kind of unravel a little bit. Letting a bad team stay in the game and almost costing you was not ideal, not what you want to see. You saw it on the sidelines with the coaching staff and the players and then even in the locker room. The mood wasn't, you know, up because they know. And again, they know what their ceiling is. They know their potential and they know they're not reaching their potential. They're not fulfilling their potential. I think that's one big proponent when you look at this team. And, you know, all the leaders are talking. Jason Kelce was on the radio. Brandon Graham talking a couple of different times there. But listen, it's tough to see when you know you can absolutely demolish that team because they're not as good as you in the way they had 7 scoring drives. They scored 7 times. Of course, it wasn't all touchdowns, which you wish it would have been. But again, a couple of the plays, you know, the DeAndre Swift knee just touching down, you know, that was called back. They got a field goal off of that one. There's a lot of things that happen that you wish it would have went the other way. But what's your take on, you know, that game on Sunday after or Monday afternoon?
Well, first off, the fact that, I mean, these games are brutal. The times of them are brutal. I mean, I'm so excited for a 1 o'clock game. And we know that the final week game, the time hasn't been announced, but I can't imagine that the Giants game is going to be any kind of prime time.
Well, it may be a 4:15 game because I think usually what they do is all of the games with playoff implications, they put them for 4 o'clock. So they'll all be 4 o'clock games.
Whatever. I mean, look.
Long as it's not Sunday night, right?
The Giants are a bad football team. The defense in the first half did exactly what it was supposed to do. It chased a bad quarterback out of the game. You know, Tommy DeVito played one half of football. His Cinderella run was finally finito, as his people say. But, I mean, this offense is just not clicking. And I don't know what more it's going to take to stop forcing Jalen Hurts to be your leading running back, to actually utilize your receivers with creative play calls. I mean, it's just, I think the thing that constantly is so frustrating is this team has weapons. This team has weapons. So for them to be in a one-score game with a Giants team that does not have weapons, I'm sorry, they just don't. says a lot to me, and it's very concerning as we get ready for the playoffs. You know, and again, you and I were talking off air. Because we couldn't seal the deal with Seattle, now we're looking at playing at least one playoff game on the road, more than likely, when we should be sealing up the one seed this week. So I think that as far as comparing the two teams, I mean, last year's team performed better, and I think you have to finally start having the conversation of the losses of the coordinators and what they really were and how they worked with Jalen Hurts. But I'm not going to put the pick six on Jalen Hurts. That's not on him. It was, you know, a slipped route. And I just, there's so much that this team has to clean up week in and week out. And what worries me is you're starting to see the disgruntlement on the sideline. And of course, in the Philadelphia media, that gets blown and way out of proportion. But again, this team has yet to put anything on paper that goes, wow, this team is dangerous, where every other major contender has.
So I do want to get into something shortly. Something Colin Cowherd said, and he's usually one I don't agree with, but
yeah, Colin Cowherd.
Cowherd. Yeah. Listen, it's something I don't agree with, but he did say, had some points that I really, really liked. But it's just, I understand the offense isn't like what you saw last year in certain things, but they did some things on Monday that I really liked. And in the pistol, using the pistol,
yes,
with DeAndre Swift, using some guard tackle pulls, which I like to see, using the, you know, an RPO where the tight end goes out, comes across the field, out into the flat. Certain things are starting to use. I'm totally fine with that. I'm okay with that because that's what they need to do with this offense. That's how they need to use the offense.
100%.
You know, you look at Jalen Hurts and his abilities and everything that he can do with this offense. You have a Devontae Smith. Another thing that, you know, I did mention to a buddy of mine, you know, you look at Devontae Smith. Why not use Devontae Smith the way the Dallas Cowboys use CeeDee Lamb? Use him in the slot because he's such a dynamic route runner. He can do so many different things when you have him in the slot there to be able to, you know, do a lot more than just pinning him on the outside all the time.
And I think for me, and kind of piggybacking on what you're saying here, is I think that the offense is so stagnant and so dull and so boring right now. I think everything should be on the table. I'm not saying we need to reinvent the offense because it's at this point in the season. I don't think that's, you know, a great idea. Even though you are about to play two very subpar teams. So if ever, now is the time, but I think you need to open up the play calling a little bit. I think you need to realize that you have athletes who want to compete. You're constantly preaching that we're competitors. We're competitors. We're going to compete every play. We're going to compete every play. You've got players who are bored with what you're trying to run. I mean, it's the only way I can say it. They're bored.
Yeah, but I think that there's a couple of things. Of course, the Dallas Goedert slipping.
You know, yeah, he slipped. Right, it happens.
You know, that sucked because that was another scoring drive. You're going down the field. And there's a couple of things that they're starting to do, like I just mentioned, that hopefully this is a build upon to keep working at it, keep going at it as you go into the end of the season, going into the playoffs. Plus, they're also starting to get healthier, which is a huge, huge thing. You know, you're going to get Dickerson back, which is going to be great for the offensive line. Juergens is already back. You're going to be able to get guys on defense back in Avante, Slay, Cunningham, Morrow. You're going to get bodies back, which is, you know, something that you need, you know, playing a lot of young players, which, hey, isn't a bad thing because
it's not, you're seeing what you have.
Yeah. Seeing what you have, got the experience, some guys that can, you know, build upon that, who are the future. When you look at some of these players and some of the positions that they're playing, the depth is there. You just need these young guys to see snaps and see reps. And, you know, just looking at the way that their offense is run, is it frustrating at times? It is, because they're still don't have the hot routes, the quick routes. When there's a cover zero, there's a blitz, there's, you know, you need to have that. You can't have 10, 15 yard routes because you're never going to get them the ball at that point. And Jalen has to get out of the pocket and try to maneuver and make something.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean,
these one read only plays where then Jalen Hurts is running to the same side every play. I mean, if his first read isn't there, he scrambles. And I think that that needs to be dealt with, because here's the thing. He does have the time in the pocket.
Yeah.
The offensive line has played pretty damn well.
Yeah. And listen, there's not like he never does it, because remember on, you know, the Giants come all the way back and you're only up five points, mm-hmm. 30 to 25. And you have you're a third and 20. You're backed up in your own end. He climbs the pocket, throws it over. It just goes over Isaiah Simmons' hand right into AJ Brown for the first down.
His best throw of the season.
Listen, it's there. It's able to do. But I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, these wide receiver bubbles. You know, when they do a cover zero blitz, hey, maybe something like that is something you want to try to install and do. Or something quick that you're able to get the ball. And another thing, I absolutely love seeing what I saw at Alameda Zacchaeus, the blocking downfield on the Devontae Smith touchdown over the middle.
I mean, I liked that play from Alameda Zacchaeus. I did not like the play where he caused the fumble on the second half opening kickoffs after he got blown up.
He got blown up. But another thing is, we've talked about the Quez Watkins experiment and how it really it's not there anymore. He played one offensive snap and that was it. So it's telling you on their end, hey, they're seeing it too. And that, you know, if that's the case, that's fine. I also did like seeing, you know, Britton Covey in there on a screen, on a little bubble screen, because he fits perfectly into that. He's a smaller guy. You know, he's playing awesome at punt returner. I would say he's a Pro Bowler, in my opinion.
He's got the number one statistics in the
NFL. He's got that small build, that shiftiness that, hey, he can do something like that. He can be a player, you know, to work those type of routes. They played a lot of 12 and 13 personnel. There's Grant Calcaterra and Jack Stoll, and Grant Calcaterra had a couple catches, one on the Jalen Hurts, you know, bad snap that he ran around and was able to get it on the third down to get them, you know, closer into the red zone there. It's different things like that. I like to see those type of alignments and different things that they're showing, because listen, at this point in the season, if you're able to show some different things that you don't already have on film, and something you don't have a lot on film, you can kind of confuse a little bit when you're looking at the defense, and to be able to throw them different wrinkles. I think that's the biggest thing. Different wrinkles, because you're so talented offensively. If you can do that, it's to your benefit.
And I hear what you're saying. I think that the frustrating part is, no matter what, every time they get something fixed this season, something else falls apart. So like the last two games, Jason Kelce has made mistakes. You don't typically see Mr. Consistency Jason Kelce make mistakes, but last two games, he's made mistakes. As soon as they start reinstituting the run game and really committing to the run game, what happens? A key integral part of our offensive line starts to make mistakes that he normally doesn't make. As soon as you start to get Devontae Smith open, the narrative is that, you know, AJ Brown is miserable and doesn't want to talk to the media and blah, 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 blah. As soon as you had, you know, linebacker shortages. So what would you hope for? Well, you would hope that your D-line would get to a guy like Tommy DeVito a little bit quicker. They didn't. You would hope that your multi-million dollar corner in Bradbury would play better than a rookie in his second career start in Kelee Ringo. That didn't happen. So there's a lot. It's as soon as one thing goes right, something else goes wrong. And that's really frustrating 2 weeks from the playoffs.
Yeah, it is very frustrating, because you look at the thing, they're scoring 33 points. They're scoring the points, but the problem is they're still turning the ball over. You still have
the turnovers are crazy this year.
Turnovers were 2-1 in the Giants' favor. You can't turn the ball over against bad teams, because what happens is you're keeping them in the game and letting them, you know, stay in the game and give them false hope that, hey, we could beat this team.
And against good teams, that's it. That's the entire game.
You can't do that. And I think that's one thing that's frustrating in the penalties. And, you know, it's just, and the
Johnny Higgins comment here is good, right? What's troubling is lack of running back receiving game, especially when you have backs like Swift, Gainwell, and Scott. Makes no sense. Yeah, that's you're literally just running Swift into the line, which is vital because it opens up the play action pass. But the quick pass game, whether it's slants, whether it's screens, whether it's moving Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott into the slot, out of the backfield. I mean, doing literally something or anything is what I'm asking this team to do.
Yeah. No, it's very frustrating at times, because when you watch this team, you know how talented they are, and you know that you saw what they did last year, and you know that, hey, they should be able to score a lot more points, to be able to make those explosive plays, put up those big numbers. But I think a lot of it is when you look at 2022 is a little bit different, but when you look at 2021, they ran the ball a lot and they ran the ball really well.
Thank you.
The thing with 2023 here is you run the ball to be able to run the ball, and then you can make your explosive plays by running the ball because it's downfield and everything along the lines of that. And I think that's one thing that, it is frustrating. Yeah, but
Javier is exactly right. It's the most frustrating 11-4 team ever. And the Shane Steichen thing, I mean, look, we'll have to look at the end of the season to see, you know, how big of the losses of Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon were. I think that the Shane Steichen loss is turning out to be a much bigger loss. I didn't think we realized that at the time.
You also have to put into play, what teams are you playing?
Yeah.
Last year, you didn't play this amount of stacked teams. Your schedule last year was, your schedule was pretty easy. And please tell me this. Don't you remember when they went to play the Indianapolis Colts and they looked like crap offensively?
Yeah.
When they played the Chicago Bears and didn't look very good offensively. The game against Washington where they lost on Monday night, they didn't look the best. The game against the Arizona Cardinals, they started off pretty good and didn't do much of anything. Listen, I think what people forget to understand and forget when you look at that, they look at the end result and the Eagles going and making the Super Bowl, and they were this fun loving team, and they had this they scored so many points, and they didn't really have, they just had to dial it back at the end of the games and stuff. It was because of the teams you were playing too. The teams they were playing, the schedule they were playing was not a first place schedule like they're playing now.
No, and I think that needs to be talked about, because the NFL as an entire entity this year, I mean, I'm not making excuses, but the NFL this season has been weird. You know, the NFL this season has been really, really weird. The fact
absolutely.
That you have, you know, the Chiefs losing to the Raiders, that's not supposed to happen. You have the Cardinals beating the Cowboys, that's not supposed to happen. You know, it is tough to win games in the NFL. And the Eagles are finding ways to win. But oh my God, at some point, and we saw it against the Cowboys the second time they played, and we saw it against the 49ers. At some point, your luck is going to run out. At some point, you actually just need to beat the pants off of a team. There's no other way to say it. At some point, you have to just beat the pants off a team. And again, Daniel, it is a weird season because the Lions are the number one contenders for the number one seed, you know, and knowing what we know about this weekend, we do have to root for the Lions to lose.
Yeah.
I won't say much more besides that, other than we have to root for the Lions to lose, but we have to take care of business first.
Oh, you have to definitely take care of business. You have to win your final two games. You have two very winnable games in playing the Cardinals and the Giants. But you have to take care of your business. And the thing is, what we've seen this whole season is nothing's guaranteed. So yeah, it's an easy game because you're playing, you know, two bad teams, but anything is possible.
On paper, these games are easy to win. But the problem is that you don't play these games on paper. If you did, they would already have sent a Lombardi trophy down Broad Street, because on paper, we had the best team in football back in August.
Yeah. No, you're right. You don't play the games on paper. You play the games on the field, and that's where anything can happen. Injuries happen, whether, you know, a bad performance, turnovers, we've seen it all. So you can't take it for granted. You just got to go one step, one game at a time. And hey, don't be surprised if a team like the Washington Commanders beats the San Francisco 49ers. Listen, I know it's, you don't think so. Jacoby Brissett's the quarterback now. Who knows? They're going to Washington. It's a cold, you know, it's different than playing in San Fran.
Yeah, but the problem is that because they just lost to the Ravens, this is going to be a statement game for the 49ers. They are not going to let up at all.
We'll see. Like I said, you just don't know. You don't know. I know the Commanders kind of have mailed it in this season, but they have nothing to lose. So teams who have nothing to lose sometimes is dangerous, and that's who the Eagles play. They play two teams that have nothing to lose. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no other way to say it. That's exactly the truth. We are playing two teams that want to play spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to play spoilers. They want to, you know, make you think twice. They're not ending your season because you're going to the playoffs, but they want to, you know, make it a lot tougher for you to not be able to get a top seed or a number two seed or a one seed or whatever it may be. And hey, possibly even, you know, when you look at it, the division, you know, the Eagles mm-hmm. still have to shore up the division, which isn't set yet. Now it depends on what happens with the Cowboys. If the Cowboys lose one game and the Eagles win, then you know, they get it. If the Eagles win out and the Cowboys win out, Eagles still win the division. So
right.
The division still needs to be settled as well. So there's a possibility you can end up a five seed if you don't take care of your own business.
Yeah, I mean, and the comments coming in, I mean, between Daniel saying, you know, the Cards with Kyler Murray back are dangerous. We're going to get into that when we do our Cardinals preview in a second, but that actually doesn't worry me too much, and I'll get into my why. We already lost in the Meadowlands this season, so the last game is not a slam dunk, and it never is with the Giants. That's really important. The Jets defense is way better than the Giants. That's true. Javier saying we were supposed to have a game statement after the Niners also. We were supposed to have a game statement any of the first 15 games that we've played. We have yet to have a statement game. It is infuriating.
So before we get on to talking about the Cardinals game and everything along the lines of that. So looking at this season to me has a lot of what 2003 Philadelphia Eagles that season was. Okay. I'm not sure how many remember it. I know it was a long time ago, 20 years ago, but the Eagles lost the first, a little bit different in terms of when the losses came. But the first two games of the season, the Eagles lose to the Bucs 17-0. Then they got hammered by the Patriots. And then, you know, they rally off a bunch of wins. A lot of close wins, a lot of, you know, nail bite. And then, of course, in the end of the year, they had a couple a little bit bigger wins. They lost to the 49ers, who were a bad team, under 500 team. The Eagles lost to a then under 500 Seattle. Well, an under 500 team in the Jets they lost to as well. So there's a lot of similarities. You know, the offense wasn't clicking. There was a lot of issues. You know, I'm sure sports radio was going crazy. There was no social media back then, thank God, because I'm sure Andy Reid would have been fired every single week because they weren't playing up to par. But, you know, that to me, it's just like,
yeah.
Listen, that's one thing that's really, really annoying.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to fire everybody. Nick Sirianni should be on the hot seat. And it's one radio station that keeps putting it out there that he should be on the hot seat because of it. The dude has won, 70-something percent of his
game. He went to the Super Bowl last year.
Yes.
He has him already clinching a playoff berth this year. In what universe? In what universe is Nick Sirianni remotely on a hot seat? That is moronic. And that is my biggest frustration with the fan base, which is, hey, let's fire everybody. Let's cut everybody. Let's bench everybody. Jalen Hurts now isn't a franchise quarterback. No, Jalen Hurts is the franchise quarterback. So get over it. It's the same thing they did with Donovan. It's the same thing they did with Andy Reid. When they finally let Andy Reid go, it was after a couple of losing seasons in a row, and it was very clear that his style of coaching was no longer being received in the locker room. Nick Sirianni is a player's coach. We know that to be true. And he's also in the beginning of his run. So, like, everybody needs to take a breath. Everyone needs to realize we could be not an 11-4 team. We could be, you know, the New York Giants, who are trying to figure out who to start between Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor. We could be the Washington Commanders, who are dealing with Sam Howell and whether or not he is the franchise quarterback because they know they're going to fire Ron Rivera. So let's start Jacoby Brissett. We could be the Vikings, where they had Josh Dobbs and he was the hot story for a while, and now he's not the hot story for a while. We could be the Steelers, who are probably going to finish under 500 and they have 15 different quarterbacks. Enough is enough. That is not our situation. We are not in a rebuild. We are not starting from scratch. Our playoff run is about to begin, but some things need to be cleaned up for us to go back to where we all want to go.
No, it has to be cleaned up because you're going to be playing. Listen, right now you're going to be playing a team that already beat you. When you look at the way the playoffs stack up right now in the Seattle Seahawks, they have already beaten you this year and you haven't beaten them in years.
Ever under Pete Carroll.
Yeah. So right there is a little concerning. And then you look at a team, you know, the Rams are playing good football right now and they're in the playoff hunt. The Bucs are playing good football. So it's just, the top teams in the NFC are still, I think, the four teams in terms of when you look at the San Fran, Detroit, Philly, Dallas, but I believe those teams all can be beat.
On, right. The NFL, anybody can win on any even Sunday. We know that. I think if you think back to the beginning of the season when we were struggling, you know, the line that everybody was saying was, well, you don't want to be playing your best football, you know, in week two and week three. Okay. And we bought that line then. We're 11-4. We have two games left this season. I would like to be playing our best football right now. Can we play our best football right now? Can we go into the playoffs playing good football? Because right now we're not playing good football. There's no other way to put it. We are not playing good football right now. These games are a struggle to watch. They are much too stressful for us to be playing our best football right now.
But you have to look at it this way too. If they play good football and say the next two games, they beat the Cardinals and the Giants.
Well, that's what we said last week, which was it's a no-win situation.
Yeah, because you're going to be at the point where, well, it doesn't matter. They should have beat those team anyway. Just wait until you get to the playoffs.
It's a no-win situation.
You're in a no-win situation. And you have the negative people and, you know, the Debbie Downers, and you have all those people that are just saying, okay, well, just wait until they fail. And then when they fail, I told you so, just so they can be right. And it's just there's a lot of that in, you know, the X world. When you look at the Philly X world, the Eagles X world, you have a lot of that people that just want to be right and they want them to fail because, hey, I told you so.
Curmudgeons, and, curmudgeons.
A lot of curmudgeons. But, you know, looking at the game coming up here, yeah, Kyler Murray is playing for the Cardinals, but listen, their offensive line isn't very good. Their defense is awful. And to me, I just think Eagles are going to be able to move up and down the field. I want to be able to see the defense cause some couple turnovers. You know, let me get that type of a game on Kyler Murray, whether it's a strip, fumble, sack, couple interceptions, stuff like that. I want to see with the team, because I think that also helps them build the confidence in them. And I think that's one thing that, you know, with the defense the last couple of weeks, you've seen some different wrinkles come in. Shaq Leonard looked really good against the Giants, you know, going through the hole, hitting the run, you know, Saquon. And I just think, like, you need more of that. Of course, these guys getting healthy, I'd love to see that as well. But I just think, like, hopefully I liked what I saw and what Patricia is doing defensively.
Uh-huh.
And I think you're going to need to do that with Kyler, because Kyler's going to be able to escape the pocket, going to be able to run, whether you spy him with Sidney Brown or somebody else. I'm not sure who you would spy him with. But to me, I just think, like, they're doing so many different things. BG coming in on third downs, rushing from the inside. I thought that's something that should have been done a long time ago. Different wrinkles along the lines of that. I want to see a lot of difference in personnel in what they do. And that's the one thing that Matt Patricia does a lot of. And you saw them on third down. Of course, they did give some fourth down conversions to the Giants, but they were stopping them on third downs. And it's the Giants. You should stop them on third down. But I think, like, that's something that gives them some confidence and some different things that they were doing. When you rewatch the game and you look at what they were doing to previous weeks on third and long, and how they were playing man, or they were playing too deep of a zone and playing off them way too much and giving them the easy slant routes or an easy curl route or something along the lines. Yeah. I miss the sacks too. I think that's one thing that
I miss sacks and turnovers.
I think one thing that they are going to have to start cleaning up a little bit. They did a little bit on Monday, but they started to stray away from it, was when you're pass rushing and when you're rushing, and you saw it when BG was in there. And the inside is, you need to hold your lanes, and you can't be too erratic and undisciplined rushing, because you widen yourself out and you give these empty lanes for the quarterback to just maneuver, get out of, set themselves and be able to hit an open receiver. You clog that up. You give them their eyes to drop. Then you're able to get the sacks. And I think that's something they were a lot better at last year, able to get the quarterback to drop their eyes, able to get the quarterback, you know, corral them and get them down. And I think that's one thing that is struggling, because they're getting the pressure. The pressure is there and they're not able to finish it. And I think that's one thing that definitely has to get cleaned up, because when you go into the playoffs, you want to be able to get the sacks and put them in super third and longs that, you know, you're able to get off the field and stuff like that, because that's what it all comes down to. When you look in the playoffs, it's all about the possessions. You want more possessions than any other team.
I think that last year, you had more team sacks. You know, you had more guys swarming to the football. Well, so
and that's the and that's the discipline aspect when you look at rushing the passer.
Right.
You don't want to be super undisciplined because especially with a player like Kyler Murray, he will escape the pocket and get 10, 15 yards super easily.
And that's right. And I think that this season, it's a lot more of individual abilities. You know, if Fletcher Cox gets to the quarterback, he's the only one within 3-4 yards. I think if, you know, I think if Brandon Graham gets to the quarterback, he's the only one within 3-4 yards. There needs to be a, hey, we're going to meet at the quarterback more. Yeah. That's where we're having our defensive line meeting today.
Yeah. Listen, it's something that, and of course, maybe it also has to do with the extended snaps. The more snaps that you're seeing out of Sweat and Reddick, because they don't have a type of rotation that they had last year.
And they can't. And on top of that, you can't get the offense to stay on the field.
Yeah. Listen, they did a lot better job Sunday. You want to be able to sustain drives. You know, they did a really good job the first couple of drives against Seattle, 12 and 15 plays. And, you know, you want to see them. Yeah, you don't want to try to only have 12, 15 play drives all the time. But those drives get a defense to then, if, like I said, that's why you run the ball and that's why you do certain things. Give the defense what they're giving you. You take it. You take what they're giving you because it will open up deeper as the game goes on. Because if they keep giving that and you're going to go to it, you could sneak somebody back as a long post route, a deep route, a go route, whatever it may be, and to be able to stretch the field and hit on those chunk plays.
The other thing it does by you having on offense these long 12, 13, 14, 15 play drives is it keeps the other offensive off the field. And the thing with that is that most of the teams in the NFC playoffs this year have quick strike capabilities. The 49ers have quick strike capabilities. The Seahawks have quick strike capabilities. The Cowboys have quick strike capabilities. The Rams have quick strike capabilities. If you run into any of those teams, you do not want to give them a bunch of possessions because they can score on one or two plays. Now, if you were say that the Bears made the playoffs, the Bears don't really have quick strike capability. They're a team that almost every drive you're looking at 9, 10, 13, 14 play drives.
Yeah.
So by you having a longer offensive drive, you keep their offensive off and you can win those close games. So then if your offense is only scoring 17 points, well, that's fine because the other team hasn't had a chance to get that many possessions. I really think that the ways that we play best is when we utilize the run game beyond even what we think is capable of. We use the RPO. We let Jalen Hurts have three-step drops, not this seven and wait fly route crap. I mean, that's, yes, he can do it, but that's not our best offense. It just isn't.
The thing is just take what the defense is going to give you. If they're going to play zone, just keep dink and dunk and move your way. Because the thing about it is you start a drive at what? First and 8.5, basically. Because you know if you get to third and two, or third and one, you just, you know, you do the brotherly shove and you'll get
right. It's such an advantage.
Yards. So it's... And that's why the take what the defense is going to give you is because you're able to maneuver, stay ahead of the chains, and you don't want to be getting negative plays. You don't want to have false starts. And that's where some discipline aspect comes into it. You don't want to get at, you know, first and 20 or second and 20 or third and 15. You don't want to have that because then you're so one dimensional. And
that is not how this team, like, look, I would love to be a team that can throw, you know, the ball to Devontae and AJ all the time. I would love that, but that's not who we are.
And listen,
in reality,
it's not like Devontae and AJ aren't getting targets because AJ is, I think, top three in the NFL in targets. Mm-hmm. He had 11 targets on Sunday. I think, was it 6 catches for 80 yards and Devontae was 7 catches for 79, something along the lines of that. You know, they both have over 1,000 yards. You have close to a 1,000-yard rusher. You know, you have a quarterback who is going to have most likely 4,000 passing yards, over 600 rushing yards. It's going to be over 35 total touchdowns. It's, you know, it's a hell of a stat line.
All that's left to do is protect the gosh darn football.
Yeah, no.
And score in the red zone.
Yeah, the red zone has to clear up. They have to shore that up. But, you know, they have to be able to succeed. They have to be able to convert and be able to be successful. Now, something that is not successful.
It's time for the new Lekka Locks of the week. Who's your lock?
So, something not successful has been the new Lekka Locks. this past week, you had Njoku 2 touchdowns. He only had 1 touchdown.
I was in first place, my fantasy, the entire season, and I lost the semifinal by 5 points.
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough. You didn't have DeAndre Swift, did you?
No.
Okay. Because I'll say that that touchdown, no touchdown would have hurt you there. But I had the Dolphins scoring over 30 points. They only had 22 points. They still beat the Cowboys, which is fine.
Thank goodness. That was also a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a good game. But yeah, that of course we struck out on both of those.
Yeah, that tracks.
What?
That tracks.
Yeah. So, but now it brings us to this week's You Lekka Locks. And I got the Eagles causing 3 turnovers.
That's what I was going to do
against Kyler Murray. That's why I went first. I figured it'd be something on the lines of that. So I'm going to take it first. And why is that what you were going to do? Cause
I was going to say 2 picks.
All right. I'll change mine.
No. I'll switch it up this time.
I'm going to go with double. So you know what?
Oh,
cause 3 turnovers and Hassan Reddick will have 2 sacks.
Ooh, parlaying that son of a gun.
I am. Now the floor is yours.
Okay. I am going to You Lekka Lock a Lions loss and a Raiders win.
Oof. And Daniel saying Shaq will have a sack too. Hopefully he had a sack last week. Daniel is a Colts fan, so he may not like your Raiders prediction.
Listen, I'm just trying to go coordinator land in this situation. Plus, I'll be honest, I really like what Antonio Pierce is doing in Oakland or Vegas or wherever they play.
Wherever they play. We don't know anymore.
Whatever. I mean, Bill Belichick is going to be my offseason You Lekka Lock is Bill Belichick is going to be coaching in San Diego, wherever the Chargers play now.
The other thing, I don't know if you happen to see it. A lot of people forget the Eagles also have Isaiah Rodgers, and he's suspended this year. Another corner, a young corner, a very good kick returner and a very good young corner for formerly of the Colts as well. They also have him next year. So that's another young player. Into this route. Listen, it's just
that sounds like a next year thing. I'm focusing on the present.
Oh no,
it's around Christmas. I'm focusing on the present. That's my gift.
It's after Christmas. It's almost New Year's. Don says Don's got what's your most logical scenario for the playoffs for the Birds? Honestly, I think they get the 2 seed. It'll be that's my listen. I would love to see Washington or the Rams beat San Fran. I just don't see it. I think they take care of business and they get
into existence.
And yeah, I'd love to see it. Don't get me wrong, but I think the Eagles end up with the 2 seed because I do think Detroit loses to the Dallas Cowboys and then put them into the 3rd seed. So that's my most logical scenario. I think the Eagles will take care of business, whether it's pretty or not. I don't know.
I agree. I think that when all said and done, we will be the 2 seed. So there's that.
But now it brings us to our predictions and what we think this game is going to be, the Eagles and the Cardinals 1 p.m. matchup. I'll go first. I think the Eagles offensively, I think they're going to be able to move the ball. The Arizona pass defense is one of the worst in the NFL. Their safety tandem is pretty good, but their corners are very lackluster. And they do also give up 147 yards per game on the ground, which is worse than the NFL. So for me, looking at that, I think the Eagles will try to run the ball. And if they are successful there, it's going to open up big chunk plays and big pass plays. And I think with the home crowd, 1 p.m. matchup, no rain in the forecast. I did check.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We don't want to see that. But I think the Eagles go and they get a 35-17 victory. And they win the way we think they should win against a team like the Arizona Cardinals. And listen, people are still going to complain because big deal. They beat the Cardinals. They should have beat them like that. But again, they get the win and they move to 12-4.
Yeah, I think that there's so many things that the Eagles have going for them this week. And at some point, it has to finally click in our favor. I think that the way that Jonathan Gannon left and cost us a Super Bowl on his way out, I think that this is one of those games that the players who have been here are going to want to prove something and embarrass Jonathan Gannon a little bit. I like the fire that Nick Sirianni brings, where he's not the biggest Jonathan Gannon fan because, again, of the way everything went down. So I do think that this is our statement game. And because of that, I have the Eagles winning 42-20.
And hey, I would absolutely love to see that. Like we've mentioned, we got a couple other scores. Javier's got 33-17, convincing win finally. And Adam's got a 45-17 best birds game this year. Listen, I'd absolutely love to see that because I think we've been due all year. And I think it's something that we want to see. You know, last year there was a lot of comfortable wins. Kind of got used to that because if you remember 2021, some of the wins, most of the wins were not very comfortable. It was that, you know, nail biter esque type of stuff. But listen, hopefully they get that win. This is a team in the Arizona Cardinals who are 3-12. They're looking at draft position and what they're going to do in the offseason. So let's get back at Jonathan Gannon.
Please.
And, you know, you missed out on the coordinator you wanted in Vic Fangio because Jonathan Gannon didn't tell anybody he was going to take the job. So let's give a little payback and let's demolish the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm okay with that one. Let's do that.
Right. But hey, with that, I said, I like everyone tuning in. I love all the comments. It was fun being able to talk with everyone. Appreciate tuning in. If you haven't, hit the like, subscribe button. We'd really appreciate that. And you know,
tomorrow night, 8 p.m. on the AAT Sports Network. JD and I, so for those of you who watch my other show called The Sports Wheelhouse, we're doing our big end of year blowout show. We're going to have special guests. We're going to be talking about everything that's been happening. What's that?
You said blowout. You're going to wear a diaper?
No, although it would be a New Year's idea. No, we're just going to talk about everything that has gone right and wrong in the sports world in 2023 as we look forward to a fresh 2024 start. So make sure you are tuning in tomorrow night, 8 p.m. to the Sports Wheelhouse.
No, definitely check that out. You guys always have a lot of conversations, a lot of topics. So definitely good. And of course, appreciate Daniel as always. But with that, we always end it with a very special two words, and that is go birds.
Go birds.
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing. Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans, I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This is your boy Freddie Mitchell, aka Fred X. It's All About the Birds.
All birds all the time. All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.